Friends, you're about to hear some of the most vile anti-Semitic drivel I've heard in years, and it comes right from my own charismatic camp.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator Dr. Michael Brown, your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome, friends, to our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast here on The Line of Fire. Delighted to be with you. Here is the number to call with your Jewish-related question of any kind. It can relate to questions about Jesus being the Messiah, Jewish background to the New Testament, Messianic prophecy, Israel today, Judaism in general. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. We will give you some updates of some very important things happening with Israel's war on Hamas. We'll talk about that a little later in the broadcast. First, do you know when we send out our monthly frontline newsletter, which is all digital and absolutely free, that included in it is a Hebrew word study each month? Yeah, really interesting insights, things that hopefully we can bring to you with my background in Semitic scholarship and then knowledge of the Hebrew Bible that you'll find really fascinating. That's among many features in this Frontline newsletter. If you're not getting it, it comes out once a month digital. Go to the website today, thelineoffire.org, and sign up now. It just takes a couple of seconds. Hit subscribe. Give us your name, email. We'd love to send that out to you. And friends, it's our goal, 5 days a week on the broadcast, and then all the materials we put out every single week, 4 or 5 new articles, 4 or 5 new videos, everything we put out every single week, that's for you. Build you up, edify you, strengthen you, infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong on the front lines. Okay. A few days ago, a colleague of mine, a Jewish believer, active in the charismatic world, reached out to me, and he wanted to talk to me about an anti-Semitic libel, a common Jew-hating lie that's circulated over the decades. It's not super old. It doesn't go back, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. It's a more recent lie. But he was concerned because it was on a well-known charismatic platform. And he knows the host of this platform, Elijah List, which is Steve Schultz, and he reached out to him directly and appealed to him to step back from platforming this drivel and was pushed back against rather than being heard, which he was quite surprised because they've had a good relationship. He was resisted strongly. So I have not reached out to Steve Schultz or to the gentleman that's going to be doing most of the speaking, Johnny Enloe. Johnny Enloe, I spoke about and wrote about because of his bizarre Trump prophecies. For example, after Joe Biden was in office, all right, so no argument anymore that the courts are ever going to turn this or that it's going to be taken away and that Donald Trump will be inaugurated rather than Joe Biden. Johnny Enloe had an alleged vision and saw Trump sitting on a throne with a golden scepter, and he was the one really ruling and reigning. I called this out by name. I wrote about it in my book, The Political Seduction of the Church. I've had no contact with him. However, you'll hear from both of these men many wonderful teachings, many beautiful teachings, many teachings glorifying Jesus, many teachings opening up the scriptures, which makes it all the more grievous when you hear drivel like this. And yes, it is true that some of those that I called out for the false Trump prophecies like Kat Kerr and others are platformed on Elijah List. So I fully understand why many would completely reject Elijah List from beginning to end. I've only seen little samplings. The samplings I've seen have all been the negative ones. But I'm sure there's good. I'm sure there's good that these brothers are doing. I'm sure that Johnny Enloe has pointed people to Jesus. And I'm sure that there is ugly, despicable error that must be called out. So this is a show where Johnny Enloe is talking about how Israel's protectors are really Israel's enemies. And on the one hand, He comes against replacement theology, the idea that God has no ongoing purposes for the nation of Israel, the idea that the church has somehow displaced Israel in the purposes and promises of God. He comes against that on the one hand. And on the other hand, he's coming against the idea that because replacement theology is false, that everything that the modern state of Israel does today is good, and that we have to support everything the modern state of Israel does today, or that the modern state of Israel as is represents the fullness of prophetic fulfillment. So I would agree with many of those critiques, but there is some vile, dangerous, ugly, destructive stuff. And this is a big platform that gets hundreds of thousands, millions of hits and views. So it is important that I bring this to your attention. Let's listen to the first clip.
Sharing with me about Israel, you know, it wasn't a very glowing report. It's just like how in trouble the nation is. And he gave me the numbers and I checked into it as well. He's like, you know, he's like 0.2% of the nation are believers, 0.2.
Really? And
so not 2%, but 0.2. So, and it's not just believers, but it's that, so do the numbers. It's 99.8% are not just not Christians, they are actually Jesus resistant. But it's literally, and we were having the conversation that it's apparently the most Jesus resistant nation on the planet.
Really? Wow.
Okay, so number one, I have no argument with the fact that Israel's in trouble. Absolutely. And I've drawn attention to the sin of the nation and the rejection of the gospel. Israel's in the land, not because of its goodness, but because of God's goodness, not because of Jewish faithfulness, but because of divine faithfulness. I've said that endlessly. And as one that's been in a theological battle with my people for over 52 years, yeah, all clear in terms of Israel's need for Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. However, the stats are not accurate stats. It's not 99.8% are non-believers. You do have a few percent that are Christians serving in the land where they have great liberty. You've got some radical extremists that will try to attack a Christian holy site or a church building or something like that over the years. But otherwise, Christians have complete liberty to be Christians in the land of Israel. Their rights are well protected. Christian holy sites are well protected. And that's why hundreds of millions of Christians around the world over the decades have made their way into Israel, tens of millions, and are warmly welcomed. So that's the first thing. It's a misleading picture. He gave the number of Messianic Jews within the land of 15 to 17,000. It's more likely between 30 and 35,000. So it's still small, still much bigger than it was. And yes, there many are not charismatic. Some are legalistic. So sure, those critiques, I would agree with, but exaggerated. The idea that it's the most Jesus-resistant country on the planet is completely misleading, because of the freedoms given to Christians, because of the fact that Christianity is accepted and respected as a world religion there, with much of its tradition and history being in Israel, and Jesus himself being a Jew, and that many Israelis don't know much about Jesus. Some do think that he was a good Jewish teacher and leader, and then the very religious would look at him very, very negatively. But if you want to be sharing the gospel, put it this way, you'd much rather be in Israel than in Afghanistan or North Korea. So misleading pictures being painted, that was based on a missionary who'd lived there for many years sharing with Johnny Enloe. Okay, clip number two.
Well, he was also telling me that 70% of the youth in Israel have a serious drug problem. And it's like one of the worst rates in the world as well. And that the sexual confusion movement, whether you call it the transgender, whatever else, it has its highest agenda in Israel. So Israel's in trouble.
All right. Again, Israel's in trouble. By the way, America's in trouble. By the way, the world is in trouble. I dug everywhere I could dig online and find nothing that gives any hint whatsoever that 70% of Israeli youth have a serious drug problem. If that was the case, the country would completely collapse. I mean, it's plain and simple. No indication of that. You seem to have about 25% of Israeli young people with illicit drug use. And that can be very similar to American stats. In fact, the great majority of American kids, by the time they're out of high school, have tried an illicit drug at one time or another. As for trans activism, it's bad in Israel, like it is in America and other countries. Tel Aviv was voted the most gay-friendly city in the world years back in 2011. Israel's considered the most gay-friendly country in the Middle East. But as far as the number one trans agenda is in Israel, no, overstatement. But again, Israel's being demonized here in each statement in a way that goes to an extreme. But either way, yes, Israel needs the Lord. Israel needs the Messiah. Israel's messed up. America's messed up. Yes. Okay. Agreed on that. Let's keep going.
What we're finding out more and more is really run, has been run by globalists. It has been run by the Rothschilds, by Rothschild pressure.
Do you mean even to the present day? Is that what you mean by that?
I mean absolutely to the present day. Okay. The Knesset, the Mossad, the families in power in Israel were basically positioned there by what we call and the Khazarian Jews, and I'm going to explain. And I know there's a lot of nuances here that I'll probably hit, Steve. And if you see me miss it, then go ahead and ask me. But I know the many nuances I need to cover right now. But if people may not know, they'll go back to the Balfour Declaration out of England that allowed for Israel to become a nation officially in 1948 for the first time in 2,000 years, seemingly breaking an impossibility. That's one of the reasons why replacement theology came around. It's like, well, there's no way it can actually be about natural Israel because Israel hadn't been a nation in 2,000 years, and so it's not ever going to be. Then suddenly it was. Mm-hmm. And so everybody sees the handiwork of God in that. But in quote, in reality, it was the Rothschilds and who were heading up the world cartel banking and have for 400 years and have funded both sides of every war for the last 400 plus years. They're the ones that put pressure on Lord Balfour, and therefore they created the foundations of Israel.
I don't know where to begin in refuting this garbage. The Rothschilds did not put pressure on Lord Balfour for the Balfour Declaration. You have a Rothschild who's involved in the larger process. You have Rothschild money that helps buy some of the land as Jewish immigrants are coming back to the land and purchasing land. That's what you have. The idea that the Rothschilds put the powers that be in office in Israel. You can break down, by the way, how Likud gets in office. You can break down their grassroots efforts and how they mobilize people to vote and how different ones have come into it. It's easily documented. It's got nothing to do with this globalist banking Rothschild dynasty that puts it in place. But that is a go-to. That is a go-to talking point for the anti-Semites. You'll always see it. Do your own study. Dig, get beyond the sensationalist sources and go to the original documents. This is bogus, but it gets much worse.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Tribeuta Wellness. I want you to hear an amazing testimony from my friend, James Robison, and most all of you will know of him. He and his wife, Betty, host the Life Today television program. Now, here is James.
Let me tell you about a miracle I experienced. My friend, Michael Ellison, he and his wife are our 40-year-plus best friends. Well, let me just say this to you. I had so much pain with what was called tennis elbow that I could hardly reach over and pick up the phone without pain, without it hurting me. I couldn't pick up something to drink, a glass of tea or anything. It was very difficult to do anything without wearing a tight strap. And then Michael shared the Nopal cactus juice with me, Nopalea. I began drinking about that much in the morning in a glass and that much later in the day. And in 3 months, I was a different person. I have now gone more than 10 years with no pain. Not better, well. I have no joint pain. I'm telling you, it did something to the inflammation in my body that was undeniable. Now, that's just my testimony. But that's been more than 10 years with no pain. Matter of fact, if I miss for some foolish reason a few days, I can feel it creeping back that fast. So give it a try. See if it helps relieve your pain. I hope it does like it has mine, because it worked for me.
No Pelea is supported by clinical studies for lowering inflammation and improving mobility, flexibility, and range of motion in the neck, back, and joints for less reliance on pain medication and improved quality of life. Call 800-771-5584 and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order goes to support the Line of Fire. Call 800-771-5584 or go online to trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Shout out to our co-sponsor, Trivita. All those that want to check out some really excellent wellness products and know that your money is being donated directly to the Line of Fire to help us reach more Jewish people with the good news and speak to the nation, speak to the church. You can find out more by going to trivita.com. If you go there, use the code BROWN25, or if you like, you can call 800-771-5584. 866-34-TRUTH with your Jewish-related questions. Now, here's the deal. There's no question in my mind whatsoever that the restoration of the Jewish people back to the land is an act of God. There's no way that we as a people could have been scattered out of the land as long as we were. It's not possible. Preserved as a people with an identity, all right? This never happened with anyone else that's been scattered out of their homeland over a period of centuries and no longer has that homeland. Then to be preserved rather than just absorbed into the nations, which has happened to every other group, study it out in history. Then to be brought back, then to be speaking a modern version of the ancient language, and then the whole world against you is all laid out in Scripture. That happened because God did it, because God still has a purpose for the Jewish people as a people. Not only is the word explicit on this, and not only the Old Testament throughout, but confirmed again in the New Testament. But there's no other explanation except the hand of God in this. And to me, I can say it blatantly, plainly, clearly. Now, when it comes to the lies about the Rothschilds, they are the boogeyman. They are the scapegoat for all these things happening in the world, these alleged Jewish bankers who control everything. And if you'll go to the anti-Semitic conspiracy books and websites, you'll hear it over and over. You say, well, Dr. Brown, it's he said versus she said. Well, why don't you take the time to do serious research? Why don't you take the time to find the best historians and read about the origin of the Balfour Declaration? Or read about what limited role a Rothschild or Rothschilds played in all of this. But tell you what, let's just keep going, because it's going to get worse and worse and worse. And this is what I really want to start to focus on. Clip number four.
It's just all those who know about Israel's security, which is the best in the world, there is no way that Hamas comes in and does what they do for hours unhindered, unless somebody has called for a stand down.
Stand down of the Israeli army, of the defense.
Yes.
Someone had to. I mean, it's logical.
It's logical, and they're having protests by the tens of thousands and demands for Benjamin Netanyahu to stand down, because it's just too unbelievable that they would come and be able to do that and do it for so many hours, unstopped, unperceived.
I was at the Israeli embassy last week. Many of you know it, seeing the actual 47 minutes of footage primary documents, so from body cams, from CCTV, from the cell phones of victims, et cetera, the Hamas slaughter, what's actually happening, right? You say, well, how did it possibly happen? So according to Johnny Enlow and Steve Schultz that you hear speaking, according to them, Israel intentionally let it happen. They let their people be slaughtered, butchered, raped, mutilated, burned alive. They let it happen. They let it happen because they have some larger purposes. The fact of the matter is, we know how it happened. We know point by point by point how the security breaches happened. We know point by point by point where the failures happened. The reason that tens of thousands are protesting against Netanyahu is not because they're saying that the government willfully let this happen. They're saying you're responsible. It happened on your watch, and he is responsible, and they have every right to protest. The reality is we know how the security breaches happen. There are massive failures. Some of it had to do with a lot of stuff going on in the West Bank and because of some radical right-wing Israeli policies under the Netanyahu government and the West Bank, because of these things happening, that a lot of Israeli security forces were focused there, taking the eye off Gaza, just relying on their high-tech setup that nothing could penetrate. But again, it was a perfect storm of one thing after another. I've read the detailed reports of what broke down. Also, a nation divided cannot stand. And because of some of the radical judicial reforms that were being pushed by the Netanyahu government, yes, there should be some judicial reforms, but these went too far. There were massive protests. This is week in, week out, hundreds of thousands of people. There are many reasons for why this happened. But the one that is not true is that Israel willingly let it happen. What a vile, vile argument. But it gets much worse. It gets much worse. Let's keep listening.
Going back to the Rothschilds and who they represent, it doesn't mean all the last names are exactly Rothschilds, but they have a lot of individuals and people. It's the banking cartel that's based out of there, and they work with the Mossad that was founded and paid for and sustained by them. You have the people that founded Israel, and you know, they have streets named after them. They have institutions in Israel, and they have the Holocaust Museum. The same people funded Hitler and were funding the killing and the Holocaust of the Jews. And so if you just back off and look in the spirit realm, you see the demonic plan that's going on here is create yourself as the safe harbor for them so that you can get them all in one place, and then you take them out even in an easier way.
So this is allegedly a Jewish plot. So the same Jewish leaders, Rothschilds or whatever their names might be, are working together to bring the Jews back to the land while they're also working with Hitler and financing Hitler to slaughter the Jews and then get them back in the land and slaughter them all. I mean, what a sick, baseless accusation. And if you study German history with the Holocaust, one of the Rothschilds, there was a massive ransom paid for him, massive, the largest in history, to get him freed from the Nazis. Oh, I thought they were controlling and funding the Nazis. No, they had a fight against them. And read Theodor Herzl and go back to the early Zionist conferences and look at how the modern Zionist movement arose in Europe because of anti-Semitism in France and other parts of the European world. And then look at the documents and then look at the first founders. It's got nothing to do with some global Rothschild conspiracy. And yet, we have not yet gotten to the worst of the accusations. I've got a couple of clips to play, but they are a little long. So I'm going to do that on the other side of the break, and then I should have time to get your call. Some of you are patiently waiting, 866-34-TRUTH. But since there's a Greg on hold, it reminds me that I just did a video shoot for a project that Greg Coco will put out, and the videographer was named Greg, and he wanted to share his testimony with me. That he was a seminarian in living in Louisville, and he called the show in 2010. He wanted to share his story with me. As a result of that call, He ended up being transformed by reading Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus, totally changed his worldview, gave him understanding of Jewish background that he had never learned or known about, and then ended up serving as a Christian missionary in Jerusalem for a couple of years. So he wanted me to know that one call changed everything. And I said to him, you know, the lesson from that is you never know. You never know one act, one call, one conversation, the impact it can have on other people. It really is quite extraordinary. So let's take everything we do seriously, whether it seems large or small. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. And again, if you're not getting my emails every week letting you know, here are the latest articles, here are the latest videos, things that will really help you, really equip you, empower you to engage on the front lines, go to our website right now, thelineoffire.org. Click on subscribe, and we'll get you our frontline newsletter. Put you on our welcome tour, where I'll tell you more about my own testimony as well, from LSD to PhD. Okay, a little bit more. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. Thelineoffire.org, click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. You know, when God called me in 2004, then articulated to me clearly in 2005, the front lines of the culture wars, in particular having to do with gay, lesbian, bi, trans issues, etc., the word he gave me was reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. A former producer of ours, Matt, pointed out to me that reach out and resist is something I've done in other areas. And yeah, so when it comes to the Jewish community, we reach out with the gospel, and then we resist the rising tide of Jew hatred, of anti-Semitism. All right, now we get to the really vulgar, really bad, really dangerous stuff. This is an extended segment about 2 minutes, 45 seconds, where Johnny Enlow and Steve Schultz, well, you'll hear it for yourself. Let's listen.
And so when he's saying he's coming to redeem, while he would say, redeem Israel, oh God, out of all their troubles. First thing they need to be redeemed at, more dangerous than Hamas, more dangerous than Muslim neighbors, are internal these, and there's another biblical name, these who say they are Jews and are not.
I was going to ask you about that. Revelation 3:8, I think. I was going to ask you that question. Does that refer to this time, or can it refer to this time?
It can. It's Revelation 3:9. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Yeah. And there's a different application for it, but we understand this is really, there's a practical storyline. I've shared before on a program maybe a year ago, I don't know, about the Khazarian mafia, mm-hmm. and the Khazarian Jews. And I'll just say the briefest understanding of it and how this applies to them, because it's about 1,000 years ago. Really, these are almost like marauding tribes, not like tribes of the tribe of Israel, but they're based out of the Ukraine, ironically or not, based out of Kiev. And these were those that would go around, take new lands, and they were known, they had brought the Babylonian religion with them. They were doing cannibalism, human trafficking, no boundaries, sex interaction. They were so wicked that the story goes that he who led, I believe he was a czar of Russia, when he had won a battle against him, gave him an option. And in some way or another, this is a truth that they were told again 1,000 years ago, you must choose a religion. You all are worthless people. You're not training your kids into any kind of civility, reasonableness. And he gave them a choice of the three Abrahamic religions, and the three Abrahamic religions being either at the time we'd say Catholicism, Christianity. The other one is Islam, and the other one is Judaism. And so they, in a very pragmatic way, the Khazarians chose Judaism because the Pope was what, and the Vatican, they were very hands-on, forcible conversions. And so it was not a light thing to go under that, nor was it Islam. It's a heavy yoke on both. And so Judaism would leave them alone. And so they did some things of incorporating some level of, they weren't, first of all, they were not Semites.
Oh, okay. That is one of the most ridiculous, error-filled, ugly, despicable rants I've heard. I don't know how else to describe it. I've got whole books on the history of the Khazars, a Turkic people that cannibalism, human trafficking, sexual immorality, there's nothing in historical accounts associating them with that. That's number one. Number two, they were not forced by a czar to choose a world religion. Complete myth. You might as well tell me that Abraham Lincoln was counseled by Elvis Presley about freeing the slaves. That has more historical truth to it than this drivel that we just heard on a major charismatic platform, as Steve Schultz and Johnny Enlow speak. And it's one of the standard anti-Semitic lies that today's Jews are not really Jews, or Jewish leaders in Israel of Ashkenazi background are not really Jews. It's one of the standard anti-Semitic lies. As far as the alleged conversion of the Khazars, you can read it, Yehuda Halevi's book, The Khazari, that there, it may be true that as there is debate and discussion, there are Turkic people a little over 1,000 years ago, that some of the leaders or some of the people did, in fact, convert to Judaism and then became part of the larger Jewish people. Khazars as a whole disappeared from history. That's it. End of subject. There is no Khazarian mafia. There is not a single Jew on the planet that can be traced back in any definitive way to the Khazars. Zero. Absolutely zero. Some of them may have willfully converted to Judaism, maybe mainly the leaders. But here, just a couple of easy resources. Go to Britannica.com and just start with Khazar there, all right? Britannica.com, Khazar. Read through the short article there and then dig. then dig deeper. Just stand a historical source, and you'll see why I'm saying this is as bogus as saying that Elvis Presley counseled Abraham Lincoln about freeing the slaves. There's a great article on Science Daily. Did the Khazars convert to Judaism? New research says no. So not only it's a 100% nonsense myth that they were these barbaric, human-eating, sexually immoral, human-trafficking people with Babylonian religion that were forced to convert by the Tsar. I'll argue that Elvis Presley wrote the letter of Romans before I'll accept garbage like that. Okay? I mean, it's just as ridiculous. Zero historical basis. But even the idea that some of them may have converted, and leading Israeli scholars says, it never even happened. There's no evidence of it ever really happening. You can study that out for yourself. And then you should just go to even a fact-checking website, PolitiFact. The Rothschilds were behind the Federal Reserve. They now control the global financial system. Just look at how this is the common anti-Semitic lie. And now, I guess the worst of all. I got a couple more clips. Let's play the next one.
To convert to Judaism, at least as an appearance, as a mask. This is the group that then went into European Judaism as well, and mainly what was there. And you say, if you look for the in quote more pure-blooded Jews, would be the Sephardic, and many of them may be like in Central and South America. There's many Sephardic Jews just in Latin America.
Do they go by any other names that mean the same thing that we would recognize, like this group?
Well, there is an association made that I don't 100%, I can't vouch for it in every kind of way, but those that go by Ashkenaz Jews will be associated in some way with the Khazarian. And but you can't say 100% that a Khazarian Jew is not a Jew at all, because they adapted and adopted Judaism. They did in some measure begin to mix, and over the years and centuries, actually, they've done more mixing. But at the elite level, the biggest thing to be aware of is at the elite level, at those who hold the money and the power, the bankers, and this is where you look at, this is where the Rothschilds and really the Rockefellers have a root system from that as well. Most of the things you look at that are, it's amazing how many things have the Jewish name. Epstein, there was Weinstein, from the Me Too movement. And so so there is a growing anti-Semitism in the world and anti-Zionism, because they keep realizing these figures of incredible evil they have Jewish names. And Berg and Stein and different things like that. But what's not being noted, we'll just say where it's going too far, and that's going to go to a clear statement. I want to get it from how I wrote it here in just a second. How it's going too far is taking that reality, the fact that there's a Khazarian mafia of the elite that have even watched their bloodlines in their own kind of way. And they're not looking out for Jewish bloodline. They're looking out for their bloodline. It's a religious cult, but they've managed to hide themselves in Judaism. Mm. And by hiding themselves in Judaism and being those who've practiced horrible evil, they have brought hatred to Jews in general. So they are a cause for anti-Semitism, because people lump them all together.
All right, Johnny Enloe, you are spreading despicable lies. Steve Schultz, you are platforming despicable lies. You need to get the facts right. You need to come back on. You need to repudiate this garbage and nonsense. There is no Khazarian bloodline. There is zero DNA evidence that says Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Jeffrey Epstein, whoever else it is, Harvey Weinstein, that they are Khazarian. There is no more evidence for that, I'll say it again, than that Elvis Presley was counseling Abraham Lincoln to free the slaves. This is complete myth nonsense. And tell you what, let's listen to one more clip because we've got time for this before the break. Go ahead.
Statement. Anti-Semitism is demonic and longstanding. Okay, people, I'm going to say that one more time. Anti-Semitism is demonic and longstanding, and don't fall for it. Don't fall for it now. Okay. But anti-Khazarian mafia is not anti-Semitism. But they've tried, that's part of the game they've played. The Rothschilds and the rest of these have hid themselves behind every time they get signaled for something. Every time it's like, you, Brent, your banks are running the whole world. This is anti-Semitism. They have hidden behind it. They have manipulated the narrative with it. And so I have no problem saying I am anti-Khazarian mafia. I am pro-Semite.
Sir, what you just did is hid behind your own lie to justify your own Jew hatred. It's like some white supremacist saying, I'm not anti-black, I'm not a racist, I'm just anti those blacks who claim to be blacks and really aren't. I'm just anti those miserable blacks that are destroying America because they're not really black, but I'm not anti-black. All you did was gave yourself a cloak for Jew hatred and to spread lies about the Jewish people and say, well, they're not really Jews, they're the Khazarian mafia. Shame on you. You're a minister of the gospel. Shame on you. Peddling drivel like this that is now going to be used by others to hate Jews more. That's exactly what is going to happen. It is factually wrong. It's historically wrong. It is misuse of scripture. It is something to be repudiated, renounced, and I denounce it. You need to renounce it. I'm denouncing it. Unfortunately, there's still one more clip.
Chronic inflammation is the greatest health threat to humanity. Infections, injuries, toxins, poor diet, and chronic stress can attack your immune system and lead to chronic inflammation. But now there's a solution you can fight this dangerous silent killer with. Nopalea, made from the superfruit of the Nepal cactus, containing a unique group of bioflavonoids clinically shown to reduce chronic inflammation.
In a random, double-blind, placebo-controlled study, it showed a reduction of elevated, at-risk C-reactive protein levels, resulting in an improvement in range of motion in the back, neck, and joints, and an overall improvement in the quality of life.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
Let's hear what customers are saying.
I'm a personal trainer and owner of three gyms. Super excited, doing a renovation in here, bringing new equipment in. And as I was bringing the new equipment in, I was trying to move a piece. I moved, the equipment didn't move, and I injured myself severely. So it was frustrating. It was really depressing. I wasn't able to work out. I wasn't able to train. I wasn't able to do just normal daily functions. After taking Nopalea, I found that it really helped with my recovery, not only with my severe injury in my back, but it also helped in my recovery of my workouts.
Nopalea has helped thousands of people by lowering levels of chronic inflammation.
To place your order, call 800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. As a new customer introductory offer, use promo code BROWN25 for a 25% discount on your purchase of Nopalea. And 100% of your first order will go to the support of Line of Fire. Go to trivita.com or call 800-771-5584. Again, 800-771-5584.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. This last clip from this horrific interview, some of it I'm sure was good, right? I agree with, but the ugly parts are ugly. Hey, if you have two parts poison and eight parts good in your 10 ounces, you're going to die. You're going to die. So the last clip, and this just shows once you get unhinged, once you start believing anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, you go completely off the wall. Last clip, Johnny Enlow on with Steve Schultz.
A practical question on that one, though. There were these rabbis in New York in tunnels that were caught trafficking children. Johnny, what is a Christian to do and say? Is a Christian to say they're not even Jews, they're fake Jews? Or are the Christians to say, look, if they're real Jews and they're doing that?
Well, we do want to see the rest of that. I have a very, there's parts yellow flag, part red flag on like what we just discovered with that, with the pictures and the reports. And we're in need of a more full report on that Chabad organization. But it's like, it certainly looks like they've been connected to the Khazarian mafia in some way. And they're going in, you know, under the Orthodox dress of all.
Oh, God. God help these guys. God help these guys. By the way, it's Chabad, not Shabbat. There were not rabbis in New York caught trafficking children in tunnels. That's not what happened. Rather, under the Chabad headquarters at 77 Eastern Parkway in Brooklyn, New York, there were religious zealots, some ultra-Orthodox younger Jews, that were trying to expand to an adjoining building to expand the size of the synagogue because of traditions in their community that was a key thing for revealing their leader to be the Messiah. That's it. That's it. We know what happened. We know who was involved. We know why it happened. And there is no more connection with these ultra-Orthodox Jews based in Brooklyn that come over from Russia a few generations back. There's no connection between them and the Khazars anymore than there's a direct link from Elvis Presley to the Apostle Paul and the Book of Romans. Please. And it never ends. Say, Dr. Brown, you're getting worked up because, you know what, Jews end up getting killed over libels like this. And the church ends up getting polluted. And what's especially despicable, coming from Charismatic Brothers, is that the vast majority of the Charismatic Church worldwide is pro-Israel. Why? Because they just read the Bible, and they see what the Bible says clearly, and they recognize the hand of God in history. So to see this poison circulating among Charismatics, it's really sick, and we want to cut it off as best as we can at the head. And Johnny Enlow, Steve Schultz, you want to come on my program and make your case? We'll have at it. I just want to let you know, you will have your case demolished. But if you want to, let's do it. And if you want to talk privately and fix this, let's do it. My colleague reached out to one of the key gentlemen involved. He was rebuffed. Hence, I have gone public with it. Okay. In Israel, in recent days, in Damascus and Syria, Israel took out a major Iranian general that has enraged the Iranians, of course, who back Hezbollah and Hamas. Will that lead to more violence and bloodshed? We shall see. We pray not, but it could happen. This week, Israeli soldiers on the ground messed up and killed seven civilian aid workers that were protecting a convoy of food. Israel has said they messed up. They are launching a full investigation. They do not do this willingly and knowingly. They're saying they messed up. No excuse. They're looking into why. Lastly, we're at the end of Ramadan now, where as many as 100,000 Muslims are expected to gather at the Temple Mount complex, the Dome of the Rock al-Aqsa Mosque complex. Many times the end of Ramadan leads to more violence. We haven't seen it happening yet. It's to be on the alert. Let's pray for God's hand to continue to be at work in the land. It's crucial. And let's pray for an end to Israeli and Palestinian suffering as people would turn to God for help and relief. All right. With that, Greg, thank you so much for holding through the entire broadcast. Welcome to the Line of Fire, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I have one quick question for you. That Jesus first prophesied triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Could it be deduced that he was not, as it was known, he didn't bring about the overthrow of the Romans and as far as the physical start the physical kingdom, but could it be deduced that he began a set up the kingdom of God in our hearts?
Yes, sir.
Bringing peace to our hearts?
Yes, absolutely. So the Jewish expectation would have been that when the royal Messiah was revealed, that he would destroy the enemies of Israel, bring Israel in obedience to God and the Torah, and destroy the wicked in the world, and then establish a kingdom of peace and righteousness. There were varied expectations, but that would be a general one, you know, freedom from their political enemies and God's kingdom established on the earth. So Yeshua, Jesus, does talk about this. He does talk about, for example, in Luke, that the kingdom of God is among you or within you. And as John the Immerser and Jesus both preach the identical message, John in Matthew 3 and then Jesus in Matthew 4:17, repent for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, that's what it means, is at hand. Yes, it begins to break in then. And as we pray daily, those that pray the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done, we're praying for two things. We're praying, as Professor D.A. Carson says in his Matthew commentary, as Professor Craig Keener says in his Matthew commentary, for the ongoing advance of the kingdom. So the kingdom of God goes wherever the gospel goes. It goes into people's hearts and minds, wherever darkness is driven back and people are set free. So where the king is, the kingdom is. So God's kingdom is going forth daily in the hearts and minds and lives of hundreds of millions of people around the world and is growing and spreading. But the final culmination and the kingdom of God being established on the earth and Jesus ruling and reigning, that only happens when he returns. So yes, the kingdom of God did not just pay a visit. It was inaugurated. It began in the spiritual realm. It spreads in the hearts and minds of people. And then, you know, just look at like the clouds departing and the sun coming out. That's what's happening over people's lives in the spiritual realm as the kingdom of God advances. That's why the sick are healed and demons driven out, because the kingdom of God is advancing, but the ultimate establishing of the kingdom and full peace on earth and righteousness happens when he returns. So your kingdom come is, may it continue to spread and advance until that day when it comes to be physically established. You're absolutely right.
Thank you so much. Dr. Brown, I just want to say one real quick thing, too. That Zacchaeus, the story of Zacchaeus and Luke, and just 10 verses, I overlooked it and I read it, but when one pastor preached it to me, it just changed my deepness and love for Jesus. It just, and I don't know, it just,
it's an amazing passage in Luke, the 19th chapter, and you mentioned the 10 verses there. It is extraordinary. He singles him out. He knows him by name. He goes to the house of a sinner, but he sees that this man is ready to repent. He renounces the illicit gain that he has. And when people are grumbling, you know, Jesus says, hey, he's a son of Abraham. It's only appropriate salvation comes to his house. I remember preaching on that at a little church in Pennsylvania. It's a new believer, probably about 20, 30 people there. When I was preaching a couple years into the Lord. And I preached from Luke 19 that Jesus has an appointment with you. And the place broke out in weeping. And, you know, the handful of people that were really touched. Hey, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. All right. We've got time for one more call. Let's go to Keene in Illinois. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say how much I appreciate your ministry, your broadcast today, and your taking my call. So question I have for you. So the last couple of years, my brother, who's a minister, and I have performed a Passover service, and neither of us are ethnically Jewish,
mm-hmm.
And there's nowhere really near us that is, I would say, that's not more than a couple hours away that is of like a Messianic Jewish belief. And so I didn't know if that was an appropriate practice for us to be doing, or if it's something that maybe we should stay away from and observe in a different way. We've got a lot of meaning out of it.
Yeah, so I'm just going to jump in, not to be rude, but because I'm looking at the clock and I want to make sure I give substance to my answer. Number one, to do it as unto the Lord, to learn from it, to say that we're making this a teachable moment, to look at some of the customs that later became associated with it and seeing what spiritual significance we can find. Beautiful, wonderful. If you were doing it to try to become Jews or to prove something to the Jewish community, which I don't sense is in your minds whatsoever, rather it's to say, hey, the Messiah celebrated this, let's celebrate it, and then let's learn from some of the customs that developed, and maybe there's Messianic significance in that. Beautiful, wonderful. And in fact, I have colleagues that work with ministries like Jews for Jesus or Chosen People, and at this time of the year, they're on the road, you know, for weeks and weeks doing this very thing at churches all over America as Jewish believers to point to Yeshua. The key thing for me is that in the midst of it, our great goal is to lift him up. And as you're doing that, it's meaningful for you and your brother. I'm sure it's meaningful for your congregation as well. So that's what's got to be central, lifting him up as you're doing that. God bless you. Go for it. And I applaud you for doing it. May the Lord bless and thank you for the kind words. Friends, we're out of time. An important broadcast today. Please do circulate it.